everybody, and welcome to the Week 18 Fantasy Friday edition of the NFL Roadshow. A much weirder week than we normally see in the NFL, and that's saying a lot considering the amount of weirdness that we have seen this season. But as you well know, the last week of the regular season is always tricky in fantasy formats because of the playoff situation. Will teams that are locked into playoff berths rest their starters? Will teams that are out and eliminated give some of the younger players some run for evaluation purposes? It's all very murky. I know a few of you are still alive in season-long leagues with a small percent of championships running into this week, but I'm going to assume that most of you listening are not in that situation. So I'm going to focus primarily on the things that you need to know for daily fantasy. And as always, I think that the things that are discussed will still benefit season-long fantasy managers also. I think the first key to playing any kind of fantasy in Week 18 is to figure out who's motivated and who is not. And there are definitely some teams that fall into the latter category this year, starting with the Packers, who have the number one seed in the NFC locked up, and the Bengals, who don't really have anything on the line. Or let me rephrase that. They won't really have anything on the line if Kansas City wins on Saturday, the day before Cincinnati takes the field. And they've already said that they're sitting Joe Burrow to get him time to rest his knee for the postseason. And we will also be without Joe Mixon in that one because he's on the COVID list. So if I'm looking at teams whose regular fantasy assets, I probably don't want to target for this week. That's where I'm starting. Green Bay and Cincinnati, let's just shove them off to the side. I'm not sure I want to be too heavy on the Eagles or Cowboys either. Neither one is really in a position to greatly improve their seeding this week, so that makes them pretty hard to trust. You might see starters for a little bit, but will they play them throughout the entire game? It just becomes hard to trust. Bucks, another one that's lacking a lot of motivation to win. And if there is a team, frankly, that doesn't want to push banged up players to do anything right now, it's probably that one. As for the teams that do have a lot to play for, Chiefs and Titans are both playing for the number one seed. Ravens Steelers are trying to get into the playoffs. They got to go full steam. Same thing for the Colts, Raiders, Chargers, Saints, and Niners. Rams and Cardinals, Patriots and Bills, those four teams are playing for division wins and seeding. Patriots also have a long shot chance at the one seed. And everybody that I have not mentioned to this point is eliminated. So as for the expected scoring, which is another thing that you want to target in daily and in fantasy, I guess in general, right? Where are the points coming from? Who's most expected to find the end zone and therefore increase their point total? The highest point total, according to Vegas, that is expected is the primetime game. That's the Chargers and Raiders. They have them at 49.5 combined points. Not a single game over 50 this week. Two games are under 40. That's the football team versus the Giants. They have an expected point total of 38, and the Bengals-Browns are at 37.5. That game going to feature Brandon Allen and Case Keenum at quarterback, with Burrow out and Baker Mayfield now on IR. Teams with higher implied point totals, meaning they're expected to score a lot just themselves. It's the Colts, the Bills, and the Chiefs. All three of those teams find themselves over 28 points in that category. Looking at injuries and COVID, there's going to be no Justin Fields for Chicago. They just cannot catch a break in terms of getting that guy on the field consistently. He now has COVID. Deontay Johnson has COVID for Pittsburgh. Hollywood Brown didn't practice Thursday because of an ankle injury, so you're going to need to keep an eye on that one. We're also monitoring the Niners quarterback situation. Is it going to be Garoppolo or is it going to be Lance? The former returned to practice this week. Looked good throwing the ball, according to reporters that were on hand, but he says that he's in pain. He's throwing with a sprained right thumb. Says it feels like the web in his hand is tearing when he throws. I don't know. That doesn't sound great to me. I personally am keeping an eye on Antonio Gibson for Washington. He is back from the COVID list, but he showed up on the injury report with a brand new hip designation. He's been limited at practice. I tend to think with the many, many injuries that he has accumulated over the course of the season, it doesn't make all that much sense to play him with absolutely nothing at stake, but I don't make the call there. Again, I'll be keeping my eye on that. I will say this before we get to this week's matchup plays. with Michael Fabiano from Sports Illustrated and Sirius XM Radio. And then we're going to hit the low-end plays also, the guys that you can target in DFS at a lower price point that allow you to get up to the guys with the higher price points in DFS that you want to play. I found myself doing my build very differently this week. I, for the first time really all year long, have decided that I'm going to prioritize defense. This is just my specific strategy this week. This doesn't mean that this is what you have to do, but I have reasons why I'm doing it that I'll share. Maybe you will agree with me. I am specifically prioritizing the Washington football team's defense, not because I like what I see from the Washington football team. It's because I specifically do not like what I see from the New York football Giants, and that is their opponent. My strategy in DFS all year has been effectively to punt on defense, and I stuck with that last week rather than pay up a little bit for the team that the Giants were playing, because I thought that the defense that the Giants was playing, Chicago, was not so great. Well, as I learned, and so did everyone else, the Giants can make you look pretty good, because the Bears, who are ranked 18th on defense on the year from a fantasy scoring standpoint, just scored 21 points on the Giants. They were the number one fantasy defense last week. 21 points is more, just for perspective, than Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes scored last week. So this week, Washington going up against the Giants, it's not Glennon, it's going to be Fromm. I'm not sure if that's good or bad, right? Like, is there much of a difference? Glennon turned the ball over like crazy last week. They hardly let him throw it. Anyways, Washington is $3,100, the defense, ninth most expensive on the main slate. Tampa would be another good defense to play if you wanted to go all the way up against the Panthers. They've allowed 19 sacks in the last 4 weeks, and Tampa's obviously a much better defense, but I don't want to go that high. It's $4,000. It's the most expensive defense on the board. Indianapolis against Jacksonville's $3,800. That would be a good one too, but again, why do that if you can get the Giants opponent for less money? And again, that's $3,100. It's still relatively expensive if you, like me, like to punt your defense and just go cheapest defense, plug it in. There's not that much variation. But again, 21 points, right? If you can count on that from anywhere in your lineup, you kind of have to find a way to do it. I also feel the same way about tight end this week. I'm going to pay up for Andrews. He has scored right around 30 points in three of the last four. He did not find the end zone last week, but that was against the Rams. I don't think he's going to have that problem against Pittsburgh. And frankly, I don't love the rest of the tight end options that are on the main slate. Because again, remember, Chiefs and Broncos play on Saturday. Cowboys, Eagles play on Saturday. Chargers, Raiders play on Sunday night. That's a lot of good tight end options in those games. So if you're doing something on the main slate, then those tight end options will not be available to you, hence me going up to get Mark Andrews at $7,500. He's the most expensive tight end on the board. Anyway, there are some other names at tight end that we do like. Some of them are on Saturday and in primetime, but we'll get you those names in just a bit. First, though, as always, we're going to start with the quarterbacks with Michael Fabiano. Let's go ahead and break the huddle.
Hurry up, let's go!
Two on two. Ready? Three.
Running through some of our favorite matchup plays of week 18. I almost said 16. I don't know why 16 came out. It's not week 16. It's like, that wouldn't even be like, you know, I could have said week 17 because normally that's the last week of the season. Whatever. My brain will start to work here. For week 18, starting with the quarterback position and then running through every other position group here. So Josh Allen, I'm going to start with Josh Allen because from a daily standpoint, if you want to pay up, this is a very good week to pay up for Josh Allen. He's the most expensive quarterback on the slate at $8,100, but he's kind of a cheat code, right? Best matchup for an elite quarterback this week. Jets allowing the fifth most fantasy points to quarterbacks this year. Allen's become a fantasy machine. Just 11 completed passes last week, and he still scored 20 points because his rushing average has doubled in the last 4 weeks. He averaged 34
this year.
It's crazy. So, yeah, but he only averaged 34 rushing yards per game through week 12. In the last 4 weeks, that number has doubled to 69. So, that said, there are enough lower end options this week at other positions that I think you can afford to get up to him at $8,100. If you don't want to do that in like the mid range, you've got Taysom Hill against Atlanta at $6,200. Falcons allowing the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks. I tend to think though, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, Babs, that if I'm going to go in that range, I'm going to pay $100 more in daily, and I'm going to go up to Russell Wilson against Arizona. There's been so much talk about his less than stellar play this year, and it's all been valid, but he was QB2 last week in a great matchup against the Lions.
Yeah, he was on my list.
Well, do you know who's allowing more points to quarterbacks in the last month than Detroit is?
Who's that?
Arizona. Yep. His opponent this week. They have allowed 20 plus in three of their last four. Yes. And one of those was to Jared Goff. So don't go crazy thinking like, you know, I think Russell has so much to prove in what could be his last game with the Seahawks. I think the game's going to be competitive, and he's $6,300, the 11th highest priced quarterback of the week. Who else do you like?
Yeah. You mentioned Taysom. Kirk Cousins is going to come back this week, and he's only at $6,100 in Chicago's defense. We know is no great shakes. So I like that. I mean, Matthew Stafford has been throwing picks left and right. He's been throwing picks left and right. He may be outside of Allen, the highest priced quarterback that I would trust this week, because Aaron Rodgers is $7,800. There's no way in hell I'm paying that. It's just not happening. Tom Brady, he's got issues around him in terms of the offensive skill position players. Mike Evans is not 100%. You know, Kyler, I think he could probably go there, but the Cardinals are talking about maybe not playing all of their guys for a full complement of snaps. Chase Edmonds has got a couple of injuries. He's banged up. We also know that James Conner's banged up as well. Burrow's at $7,200. He's not going to play. Lamar Jackson, $7,000, and he's unlikely to play.
What about Josh? Would you not go to Josh because lead and then sit him down?
If I was going for a high-priced quarterback, he would be the high-priced quarterback that I would go after.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, because I think even if they did get a lead and then pull him out, he would do enough damage maybe in that time.
Remember, they're... which is strange because it's all like East Coast teams. They're all playing in the 4:25 window. So The Bills will be watching the Patriots. The Patriots will be watching the Bills because the AFC East is on the line there.
Yeah. The NFL, I will say this, does a really good job when they schedule everything in week 18.
Yes.
So that we don't get as much as possible. Teams don't know the information that they need to know to rest players. They don't want to see that from a running back standpoint. Yep. It's a, you know, a week again where we lose some more options. Mixon has COVID out for Sunday, Rojo in a walking boot on Wednesday, Boston Scott's on the COVID list. So is Jordan Howard. I think the best matchup of the week is Devin Singletary against the Jets. I'm going heavy on the Bills versus the Jets, but that's been the story of the year in fantasy, right? Against the Jets. Jets are allowing 32 points a game to running backs. They've allowed a league high 22 rushing touchdowns to running backs. What are you saying about Singletary?
He's only $6,000, but
yeah,
here's the one thing. And I know it doesn't mean anything. I love trends, and I think this is just really weird. The last 2 weeks, we have been telling people to start James Robinson against the Jets and then Ronald Jones against the Jets, and they both got hurt.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm praying that Devin Singletary, because, you know, everything happens in threes, let's hope that Devin Singletary does not have some sort of ailment this weekend, because he is in a smash spot, and at $6,000, very, very affordable. There are also some players, I don't want to talk about them now, we'll talk about them later, who could end up being really big bargains at running back because of COVID and because of injuries.
Yeah, you're kind of in my head a little bit now about your, because you're right. Now I'm thinking about
Bills. Always in your head. Come on.
If the Bills get out and then they take these guys out. And so I guess that's something that you have to factor in. But it's just it's hard to do all the math, right?
The Jets just played,
they're playing
the
for seeding.
Really tough. So, I mean, I can't come here and say, oh, they're going to boat race the Jets. They gave the Buccaneers all they could handle and more. So maybe it's going to be a closer game than we think.
So from a volume standpoint, he is seeing massive volume lately. He has 20 plus rushes in two of the last 3 weeks. He's scored touchdowns in three straight games. He's played 80% of Buffalo's offensive snaps in three of the last four. I love him this week, all things, you know, considered, if everything plays out the way that it does. Chase Edmonds versus Seattle is another matchup that I love, but I'm a little gun shy about because he's dealing with an ankle injury and Cliff Kingsbury suggested that he wants to be smart about it going into the postseason. I tend to think that they will play him. If he's okay to play, since they haven't wrapped up the division and that seeding could help. And it's a good matchup against Seattle, allowing the second most points to running backs. But it's concerning. So how about Deonte Foreman against the Texans at $5,700?
Yeah, I'm digging that one. He's hot. And guess what? It's a revenge game against the Texans.
And,
so, I mean, and they can't stop the run.
No, fifth most points to running backs. And by the way, I think it's a big game for him with Henry coming back for the postseason. So I think you're going to see a highly motivated running back to put a, you know, have another good game on tape so that maybe he has more opportunities next year. He had 26 rush attempts last week against Miami. I think that we could see that volume against Houston. And again, because Henry's coming back, they really don't have any reason to rest him, right? Like, go ahead, ride it out. So maybe that's actually the smartest play so far. David Montgomery is another guy that is has a good matchup against the Vikings, $6,800. I don't have your list in front of me, so I'm not sure if this is the one that you like too, but the Vikings are getting gashed in the last 4 weeks, allowing the sixth most fantasy points to running backs. Montgomery's volume's been off the chart, 60 rushes in the last three games, 14 catches.
He's been very good. He's certainly been very good. And I mean, Antonio Gibson's coming back as well, right? He's coming off the COVID list against the Giants, who are terrible.
Ugh.
So, you know, that if you trust Antonio Gibson to go out there and play a full complement of snaps, I think he's $5,800 this week.
I don't like the idea of playing him under the circumstances.
Even against the Giants?
Kind of, like, just like, he's so valuable, and he's just been kind of so banged up. He showed up on the injury report with a hip injury. That's kind of a new, I don't, I sort of think like maybe just sit him out.
He's going to get a full complement. I think he could end up being a bargain. I mean, look at what the Eagles just did to the Giants. You know, Boston Scott had a couple of touchdowns.
I may or may not be saying that because I want Jarrett Patterson to work as a low-end play, but I don't know. What about people who play season-long and have, like, the two-week championship are like, shut up, Lindsay, let Antonio Gibson play.
Right, exactly.
What about wide receiver?
Amon-Ra St. Brown, who has been a league winner for a lot of folks out there, including myself, in one of my leagues. I mean, he was just unbelievable. He's at $6,800 against the Packers, who may not play anybody. Okay. And we know Alexander, I'll bring up Jair again. I mean, he'll be back in the playoffs, but, and it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. I mean, it could be Goff. It could be Boyle. It could be Eric Hipple. Look him up. You remember Eric Hipple? Number 17.
He's the poster on the wall in the movie.
Yes. And Mr. Mom, look at you. You just read my mind, Rhodes. You just read my mind. Well done.
I pay attention when you talk.
Michael Keaton. Boy, you are good. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, Michael Pittman Jr.'s got a good matchup this week against the Jaguars. Christian Kirk, I think, could smash against Seattle. Tyler Lockett in that same game could end up having some points put on the board there because the Cardinals' defense has not been great lately, as Lindsay alluded to, with what they've done or not done against quarterbacks lately.
From a tight end standpoint, Dalton Schultz is playing on Saturday, so he's not available to you on the main slate for daily, but if you want to construct a lineup with him in it, it's a great matchup. Philadelphia allowing the second most points to tight ends. He led the Cowboys in targets last week with 10. I don't think that was a good thing for the Cowboys offense. I hope that that's not the case this week, just in terms of watching a good Cowboys offense getting gear before the postseason. But from a fantasy standpoint, even if it comes down from there, that's a high target volume. He's an important part of this offense. He scored 23 against Philadelphia when they played back in week 3. I mentioned Waller. That's Sunday night football against the Chargers. Again, not the main slate for daily, but $6,100. If he comes back, they can't afford to ease him in. They have so much to play for. It's a great matchup. Chargers having allowed an NFL most 12 touchdowns to the tight end, tied with the Eagles for the most. Chargers have also allowed the most receiving yards to tight ends, despite having allowed the 10th most catches. So what does that tell you?
Right.
They're picking up yak yards or chunk yards. Either way, tight ends are legitimately playing well against this defense. It's not just volume related. And then the last one, Zach Ertz against Seattle. They're allowing the eighth most points to tight ends. He went off on them in week 11 for 24 points, and he's been a featured part of the offense with D-Hop out, 33 targets in the last three games, priced at $5,300. That's $2,200 less than Andrew. So a good mid-range option in daily.
Yep, no question about it. And boy, Zach Ertz is getting so many targets in that offense. What a great fantasy trade. Maybe the best ever, right? Goddard becomes more valuable. Ertz becomes more valuable. Everybody's happy.
Hey, everyone. I'm Brad the Big Noise Evans from the Sawdust Podcast Network. Throughout the week, we're providing you with a vast array of betting and fantasy insight, advice, and analysis. Check out our library of podcasts, including Fade the Noise with me and the good sir Nathaniel Lundy, Fantasy Fast Track with me and Brandon Fun Buns Funston, Ante Up with Howard Bender and Adam Ronis, and Sticks and Stacks with Sean Drotar. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, free for most subscribers.
And right now we have some low-end plays for you that can help you if you're still going in week 18. You've got a championship matchup. You probably aren't hitting the waiver wire too hard. My guess is you've got a pretty good roster. But if you are, then we've got some help for you here. And also in daily, obviously, that's the name of the game, to find the right low-end guys so that you can make all the different price points fit up top. So starting with the quarterback position, I'm going to have you go first, Fabs, because I got to tell you, when I was looking at the low end guys, I came up with, you know, some names that I'm sure are some of the names that you, I kept talking myself out of them the more that I got into it. So I'm curious to see who you like. And then I have a name for you that I'm pretty sure you're going to think is gross.
Okay. Well, we'll start off with Tyler Huntley, who's at $5,700 against the Steelers this week in a home game for the Ravens. Carson Wentz, like, I get it. You know, Jonathan Taylor could rip the Jags for, you know, 180 yards on the ground and leave Wentz with next to nothing. But bottom line here is that Wentz is playing the Jags. The matchup is right. The price is $5,800. He may not be my favorite low-end play, but I do come up with at least a quartet of these guys. And then, you know, I've got Taylor Heinicke on the list. And Taylor Heinicke has not been good lately at $5,400, though he's playing the Giants. This is like the week. Well, it's an additional week of picking on the Giants because they just are terrible. So Heinicke would be one of those scenarios. So who is the quarterback that you think I'm going to think is gross?
Well, I'll get to that in a second. First, I want to go through some of the names that you said and explain to you kind of my thought process or some of my concerns. So Carson Wentz, the issue with Carson is, yes, it's a good matchup, but he doesn't have a history of rising to the occasion in good matchups. He put up 10 points last week against Las Vegas. He put up 11 against Houston in week 13. He put up 7 against this very Jacksonville squad back in week 10. So it could happen. It is a good matchup. He is inexpensively priced, but I just don't feel good plugging him in once I take a look at what he's done in past performances. And then Tyler Huntley, you know, I like him, right? I love the rushing upside. I like him as a quarterback, period. Last week wasn't great. 11 points against the Rams. That's a pretty low floor for a rushing quarterback. I don't know that I love this matchup against Pittsburgh. Steelers have actually been pretty good against quarterbacks. So I plugged him into a DFS lineup. And then as I did more research, I was like, I don't know if I actually feel good about that. I don't know if I'm going to keep him there. I know a lot of people are excited about Trey Lance this week if he does play instead of Jimmy Garoppolo, because he's priced at $5,500 and there is that rushing upside. But how much of that rushing upside is he going to have against the Rams? He put up 19 points last week with that rushing upside against Houston, and the Rams are a much tougher defense. Remember, the Rams held Kyler to 17. He's more advanced than Lance. Is that our ceiling here? They held Huntley last week to 11. I think that might be a good comp. So anything could happen, and I think that the game could be close if Lance is the guy. I'm just not sure I see a massive day for him. The guy that I kind of have landed on in that price range is Jared Goff. If Jared Goff plays for the Lions against Green Bay, he's $5,400. Green Bay is allowing the ninth most fantasy points to quarterbacks on the season. Goff scored 18 against them back in week two. He scored 19 plus in two of the three games that he played before he got hurt. Amon-Ra St. Brown has emerged as a legit weapon there. I think that the Lions are going to make this game competitive. And as we have talked about a lot today, Green Bay has really nothing to play for. So when I'm looking at these quarterbacks and saying like, where is my upside? The one that I could see surprising us legitimately, and actually there is a backstory that makes sense, is Jared Goff against the Packers.
Interesting. Yeah, he was limited in practice today. And so I guess
if it's Tim Boyle, I'm not going there. You know, okay. It's just Goff running the offense against a team that is not as good as you would think from
and
a fantasy standpoint against quarterbacks.
To play a lot of their starters as well. So
from
that aspect, it certainly does make sense.
What about running backs?
See, there's a lot of potential bargains.
So many.
Position this week. Yeah. So like Keyshawn Vaughn is back at practice. So it looks like he'll be the starter this week. Not Le'Veon Bell. Thank goodness. Against the Panthers. So Vaughn,
I like that too. He's got all that burst, right? Like right. It's more exciting than Le'Veon. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, many things are exciting, more exciting than Le'Veon at this point among running backs, right? We know that. Samaje Perine is at $5,300 against the Browns with Joe Mixon
out.
Dari Ogunwale is at $5,200. And this isn't even about the matchup. I mean, he's getting volume. And I get it. Like that short touchdown saved his bacon last week, the touchdown catch that he had from Trevor Lawrence. But still, you know, the points are there. Right? He's not going to give you a 20, but if he can give you 12 to 14, that's pretty good. And then the last one here, this is kind of a wild card here, Rhodes. And
okay.
It's Patrick Taylor from the Packers. If they decide that they are not going to start Aaron Jones and or A.J. Dillon, right? Taylor's a $4,000 option against Detroit. Just saying. You want low-end plays? I got low-end plays. Yeah.
How about this one? If Gibson doesn't play for Washington.
Patterson, right?
Then Jarrett Patterson is, you know, a guy that you can go get on the cheap. Five catches last week against the Eagles. Yep. And it's a very good matchup. So what about wide receivers? Going back the Eagles, because so we've got Boston Scott, we've got a whole COVID situation and we've changed the rules about that. So who knows, you know, if these guys are going to come back, but with Boston Scott and Jordan Howard going on there, you've got essentially Kenneth Gainwell is like the only healthy running back there. Gainwell and only Kenneth Gainwell, the Eagles have rushed for 100+ in 11 straight games. And the matchup isn't great, but obviously great team situation and volume for him. And that is another guy that you're going to be able to get on the cheap.
I like that call. I like that one. We'll move on to wide receiver. I don't really know if Darnell Mooney is a low end option anymore. I mean, after last week, he's had three straight games with double digits. I had almost 20 last week, but I mean, it's the Vikings, bad defense. So Mooney is floating around out there and you know, the price is not exorbitant at $5,900. Gabriel Davis against the Jets. I've got him on the list as well. KJ Osborne is a lot more attractive at $5,500 now that Kirk Cousins is going to be back for the Vikes under center. And I mean, let's give a little, I know this is a night game, but let's give a little love to Zay Jones, you know, coming off a pretty good performance. Again, this could end up being a high scoring affair. Chargers Raiders for all the marbles there on Sunday night. But Zay Jones, we got to mention him. He's been better of late, and he had a very good game last week.
He sure did. 8 catches, 120 yards, 19
now,
fantasy
points. Now, of course, if Waller is back, that's going to hurt him.
You know what, though? I hope it doesn't, because so here's my concern. If Waller comes back, my concern is that it will draw targets away from Zay Jones. I think that this is the key to them having success moving forward. They need to have a downfield option. It's been their biggest problem this year in this middle part of the season since they lost Henry Ruggs. I think that if they continue to try to go to him and stretch the field, that's massive. So I'm hoping that if Waller comes back, that it doesn't just mean all of the targets go back to that, you know, 10, 15 yard range again, because I think that's much easier to defend. From a tight end standpoint, who do you like on the low end? Waller doesn't fit into that category.
Right. If Kyle Pitts doesn't play, Hayden Hurst, who was a top 10 tight end last year, $3,200 against the Saints. That one's pretty good, as Larry David would say. And Mo Alie-Cox, I also like him this week if you're looking for a low-end play at the tight end position as well. And I will continue to pick on the Giants. I mean, if you want to go super cheap, if you want to go Bob Harris all in on the cheap plays, John Bates at $3,000, that's super cheap. I'm not
against
saying
the Giants.
Right.
And it totally depends on it, Ricky Seals-Jones being out, right? And there is no reason for him to play
that was
a week after that concussion.
Yeah, that was
no, don't, please don't do it. And also it kind of hits on some of the things that we've been talking about. That's a guy that maybe you want to give him a little bit more run, see if he can handle more responsibility. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, he's really inexpensive for a guy that's likely to get in the ballpark of, you know, six targets or something. If Seals-Jones is out against a team that's allowed an NFL most 33 red zone targets to tight ends. Another low end guy that I didn't mention at wide receiver, but I do think is interesting is, Cyril Grayson.
Yep.
For Tampa Bay.
Yeah. He actually just followed me on Twitter. So I'm a big fan.
Oh, Fabs. Look at you.
I'm a big
fan. You know that this guy did not play college football?
I did not. Is that right?
He ran track and field at LSU. He had zeros across, but didn't play college football. Went to their pro day and just worked out and caught a game-winning touchdown last week. So yeah,
and
he's
and
a guy
a
you can root
snaps.
For. He's got a great story, and he's going to be pretty important to them.
Yep.
He's going to be important to them moving forward. So we'll see just how important this week. And he is priced at $4,400. So that's a good low end one to get in.
There you go.
All right. So that's our low end plays for the week. And that'll do it for the Fantasy Friday pods of the NFL Roadshow this year. I hope you enjoyed them. We're going to shift to two pods a week starting next week, coming out on Monday and Thursday moving forward through the playoffs. And I'll be sure to include some DFS thoughts on the Thursday episodes for the rest of you degenerates like me. If you enjoyed today's episode and you want to hear more, please give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. You could also subscribe, please do, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts. The NFL Roadshow is also available on the SXM app, free for most subscribers. Just download it today and tap podcasts. For video clips of the show and more, follow me on Twitter, Lindsay_Rhodes. I'm also on Instagram, LindsayRhodesNFL. The NFL Roadshow is part of the SiriusXM Podcast Network. The executive producer is Andrew Immer. And a special thanks to SiriusXM's Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, Steve Cohen. And we will be back on Monday with the regular season in the books, taking a look back at everything that happened, and most importantly, a look ahead at the playoffs. Hope you'll join us then.
SiriusXM Podcasts.